Well, Val, I think it's time for you to get off David Popkin's back. I mean, come on. Look at the way this team hits. This team is a juggernaut. How could anybody have ever questioned the man?
Well, I mean, okay, he went grocery shopping one day and had bought too many sausages and brought one to the ballpark. Okay, so, I mean...
Hey, if that works, I mean, just buy... We just turn the hitting coach position to a Top Chef competition.
Maybe, although I don't want to crack... I don't think I'd crack open that sausage right now, considering where it's been, how it's traveled, and how it's been handled by the club.
He's Lavelle Neal from the Star Tribune. I'm Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. The show usually includes Roy Smalley. We're going to give Roy this week off and catch up with him next week. I do want to talk to him a lot about a lot of the Twins hitters. He's so great at breaking down all parts of the game, but especially hitting. But this is Chin Music. They're a baseball show at TalkNorth.com. Best way to listen to this show or any show at the network, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. We are coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studio, and we want to thank Minnesota Masonic Charities and Your Boat Club. Thanks to all of our sponsors across the podcast network. Again, best way to listen to this show or any show you like of the network, and we have Krasinski on the Wolves right now. We have Russo on hockey. We have Jeff Diamond on the Vikings. John Millay on preps. Check it all out at TalkNorth.com, including our outdoor content. Best way to listen, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's easy. All right, Lavelle. The rotation has done well. The bullpen, with the occasional blow-up exception, has done very well. Mm-hmm. But what we've really seen is great variance in the hitting. We saw a team that couldn't get a hit. Then now we have a team where everybody's hitting. It almost feels like last year, where 3 months they couldn't hit, in the last 2.5 months of the season, they were a phenomenal team. Is it just typical baseball variance, or are you seeing some kind of cause and effect here?
Well, I think this year and last year are different, because I think last year's surge happened because of Julian Wallner and Royce Lewis joining the fray and coming in with hot bats. This year, the guys have made adjustments on their own. So I think this one stands alone. It looks like, I think at the beginning of the year, and the numbers would prove it, they were swinging at everything. And they were striking out 14, 15 times a game, barely drawing walks, and not being able to sustain any offense. And when they did get someone on base, they weren't driving them in. Now they're taking better at bats. The strikeouts have dropped. The walks have increased. They're in the zone more with their swings. They're not chasing the crap dropping out of the strike zone like they were, and they're having success doing that. So I don't know if Popkins deserves credit for that. I don't know if the players woke themselves up. I don't know if it was a matter of a couple of guys getting hot and them and everybody else kind of feeding off of that. You know, it's like someone like Ryan Jeffers, and you know, I have to admit, Kepler's been swinging the bat pretty well. So I think, you know, these years kind of stand on their own. And I think the offense this year, you know, looks like the players just, you know, started making adjustments at the plate. Now you have a functional a group of hitters.
Yes, and more than functional, really. I mean, they're good enough to go on a 12-game winning streak, good enough to beat Seattle, a very good Seattle pitching staff, 3 out of 4 games, and they've beaten some really good pitchers in this stretch as well. Mm-hmm. And listen, you know, Kepler, we've seen him be a very streaky player. He's great right now. I think the guys to highlight are Jeffers becoming one of the best hitters in the game, Castro filling in so we don't even miss Buxton that much right now, and Miranda resurrecting his career. What do you think of those three?
It's an example of how great baseball can be, because a guy like Willie Castro was a minor league free agent, and the Twins found value in him last year. He got off to a terrible start this year, but now he's hitting and stealing bases and playing all over the field. Miranda and Trevor Larnach had gotten passed up on the prospect train by Royce Lewis and Matt Wallner a year ago. And you're wondering what their futures were going to be with the organization. But they've made the necessary adjustments. With Miranda, he's gotten healthier. And now they're getting a second opportunity, and they're taking advantage of it. You know, sometimes it clicks right away from people. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it never clicks, you know, but you're seeing two hitters and those guys who have made adjustments. And Jeffers has taken off from last year, where he makes the swing adjustments and has some success at the plate. You know, and, you know, Vasquez is being overpaid at $10 million a year, but his presence has probably helped Jeffers, force him to hit his way into the lineup, and two, it allows him to DH. Rocco's not afraid to use both his catchers in the lineup. So Jeffers can keep his bat in the order in the lineup. And so he's thriving because of that. So this game, I tell you what, you never think you have this game figured out. Just when you give up on some people, they give you reasons not to give up on them. And you see people continue to get better. And you see people carve out a niche for themselves. And you got all those type of stories going on right now with the Twins.
Yeah, and Jeffers has been doing this now since the beginning of last year. He's been phenomenal. He's really been a key player during the their best stretches. I mean, what's the ceiling for this guy? Are we talking about like a perennial all-star?
It's funny you brought that up, how far he's come. Someone put on Twitter yesterday a replay of when Jeffers was selected in the draft because he was taken in the second round, and they caught the MLB Network guys were caught off guard so badly they didn't have anything prepared on him because they had him projected outside the top 200 players. The Twins saw a guy who had hitting ability but could not catch, and so they said, let's see if we can make him a catcher. And slowly but surely, he got better and got better and worked on his framing and his throws. And the bat has been there. So, it's hard to have offensive catcher. If you have one of those, it's an advantage. You have an advantage, definitely. How much better can he get? Is he going to bat over 300? He's on pace for about 30 home runs. This is going to be awesome. This will be the best offensive year by a catcher since Joe Mauer. And who knew that Brian Jeffers is going to be the guy providing it?
Yeah, it's remarkable.
No offense meant to Mitch Garver because he did hit 30 homers one year.
Well, listen, Mitch was a force in 2019. He was a good player here overall, but the Twins made the right choice in keeping Jeffers and developing him and getting him and having him at a lower price. And you just said it. Trading for Vasquez seemed to be what propelled Jeffers to this level. You just never know what button is going to actually cause somebody to reach their potential.
No, exactly. And and so like I said, Rocco, is not afraid to put Vasquez as a catcher and DH Jeffers. And he told me, he said, look, we're going to get burned once. It's going to happen one day. Vasquez is going to get nicked up, and we're going to have to move Jeffers out of a DH spot. And everybody's going to go bananas over it. But you know what? I'm going to point to the stats and say, well, this is the reason why I'm doing this, because look at what Ryan Jeffers is doing at the plate. And the other thing that Rocco mentioned to me, too, was that he would start Jeffers against lefties. So when he did start Vasquez last year, he was facing right-handed hitters. So he never got a chance to hit against lefties. This way, Vasquez gets a chance to face lefties, and he's actually gotten a few hits. He doesn't look like the 550 OPS guy that he was a year ago. So it's great that Jeffers has given Rocco this type of flexibility in how he is deploying him.
No doubt about it. And then Miranda, he looked really good as a rookie, looked like he had composure and a good approach. Then, next year they find his weaknesses, they work him over. And now he is doing what I think we all thought he needed to do if he was going to be a big league hitter, which is he will take the outside pitch and hit it hard to right field. He does. There isn't that half a plate that he just can't cover, and it's made him much more dangerous. It means that also pitchers will come in with the kind of pitch he really likes, which is an inside fastball more often.
Yeah, and he's not missing. He's not missing at all. And now when he goes up to the plate, you're like, this guy's going to get a hit. It started last year and it's carrying over into this season. And it seems like every year Rocco's got to make a major lineup adjustment. I still remember a few years ago, the plan was to have Luis Arraez play just like three or four times a week. But when he couldn't hit at the beginning of the year, he had to play him every day. This year, because the offense wasn't clicking yet, Jeffers is batting like first, second in the order now. He's setting the table and he's bringing home the bacon at the same time with his power. So once again, as you pointed out, it's just it's really neat to see how some people progress and how they learn lessons and make adjustments and become well-rounded major leaguers.
So if Royce comes back, takes over third base, Is Miranda organizational depth, or does he bump either Santana or Kirilloff, or does he become just a just kind of a super utility player?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about the Miranda thing. Yeah.
No, that's okay.
I think he deserves to stay on the roster. Rocco cannot afford to give up a bat right now. So Miranda can play a little first base. He can get that mix there. But the question is, when's Royce going to come back, too? We may not see Royce until July, All-Star break. So Miranda's going to have a nice run there at third base. He gets to work on his, you know, gets to continue to hone his defense, which is not his strong suit. He gets to keep that bat in the lineup. I would keep him on the roster, man. And, you know, here's the thing, too, Jim, covering the game like we have for so many years, whenever we start trying to speculate what a potential move is, usually something happens, that move makes itself. You know, by the time Royce gets ready to come back, someone else may be banged up and would just make it easier to have both Miranda and Royce on the roster. We did it so many times last year when the Twins were looking at a roster crunch. We were like, oh, that's it for Willy Castro. They're going to have to set him down or put him on waivers. And Willy would always survive. And then the second half of the season, he rewarded them with having a strong finish to the season. So I think we just got to wait and see what moves the Twins will have to make once Royce Lewis is back into the fold. But I just want to caution everybody that this quad injury is a tester, and it's a lot that he won't be back by the end of this month. And I'm still thinking July, late July.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's what I've heard as well. And, you know, Royce goes on TV yesterday. He's on the broadcast, and he's talking about running around out in the field and taking swings and taking ground balls. And I fear that his patented enthusiasm and the fact that he's never down about anything is going to lead fans to thinking he's like a week or two away. And that's just not realistic with that injury.
No, and plus he's going to have a condensed spring training. I mean, once he's ready, because he's only played in one game. And to me, that's playing at least 2 weeks in the minors, if not three, making sure the swing is sharp and making sure he can run and not have any setbacks. So that clock hasn't even started because, you know, a guy's usually not ready to go out until he's running the bases. We haven't seen – he's been swinging the bat. He's been doing some baseball stuff. He has not joined the team for bat practice, I don't think. Has he? I haven't seen him.
No, I think he's taking swings. Yet. I don't think he's not taking batting practice with the team.
He hasn't joined the team before batting practice, and he hasn't run the bases. And usually that's the last sign before a player is good to go is when they have the run the bases test before games. So he's not even up to that part yet. So this is going to be a long play with Mr. Lewis.
Let's talk about starting pitching depth. Let's talk about the poll ads. Let's talk about TV stuff. I know you're writing about that this weekend in the Star Tribune. First, I want to remind people we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios, and we want to thank your boat club.
Got the winter blues? Start planning your summer. Plan on fun and get out in the water with your boat club. Your boat club offers boat club memberships and daily rentals with access to over 40 bodies of water and over 400 brand new boats to enjoy. Whether you want to cruise on a pontoon, create waves in a speedboat, or reel in a big one on a fishing boat, your boat club has got you covered. Unlimited boating memberships are available now, starting at just $1.99 a month after a one-time initiation. Life is better on the water. Find out more today at yourboatclub.com.
Let's also thank Minnesota Masonic Charities.
When people think of the Freemasons, they often think of secret handshakes and unusual hats, and of course, the pancake breakfast. Minnesota Masonic Charities would prefer that you think about the work that they do right here in our community. Places like the Masonic Cancer Center at the University of Minnesota or the Masonic Children's Hospital and the Masonic Home in Bloomington. They are just a few examples of the important work that the Freemasons support here in Minnesota. As part of the largest fraternal organization in the world, Masons have consistently answered the call when it comes to charitable needs. We look forward to learning so much more about their many programs here in the weeks to come.
Also, a reminder, if you hear this on time, on May 10th, Friday, May 10th, Twill is having a Grayson event, buy three, get one free. Everything Scott Dayton has in his shop, Twill by Scott Dayton in the Dyna Galleria, is fantastic. It's pretty much all I wear if I want to look good or decent. All my golf stuff is from Twill. All the stuff I wear when I want to look good in public Anytime I have a TV deal, whatever, that's what I wear, because he's got everything from nice golf shorts to comfortable shoes to the finest tailored Italian suits and sport coats you can find. I know, because I have all those things, and I didn't get these free because he does ads with us. I spend my own money there. That's the only place I shop. It's not a department store. It's not a, it's not a chain. It's Scott's Place. So as we get to spring, late spring, summer, whether it's golf, vacation, going to Target Field, going to Timberwolves games, you're going to want to wear Twill by Scott Dayton, all the great vendors he has in the store. Also sign up for email notices at twillmn.com. They will not spam you. They'll just let you know when they're going to have an event, and their events are great. And again, laid back, nice people. They're not going to pressure you. It's just a pleasant place to go. You can talk sports, twillmn.com, Twill in the Edina Galleria. All right. So they have a good bullpen, and they have a lot of different options in the bullpen, especially when they're healthy. They have a lineup that's been highly productive lately, even without Royce Lewis and Byron Buxton. So they have good organizational depth in terms of hitting. Where they're shallow is starting pitching. The starting pitching has been very good, but they really can't afford an injury there. I've also been told by people over there that not to expect the Pollads to okay a lot of spending at midseason if there was somebody out there they could go get. So how do they navigate this with, you know, Simeon Woods Richardson now as their fifth starter, with Varland and in the minors? Do they have enough starting pitching to get through the season?
No, I don't think they do. I think last year was an outlier. I think they had five guys that made like 85 of their starts last year. And that is abnormal. In baseball, you usually need 8, 9, sometimes 10 starters to get through a season. And after Louis Varland at AAA, we don't know who else is there. And I know I freaked Rory out a few weeks ago when I said this, but we may see Randy Dobnak before the year is over. The return of the Dobber is very possible if they do not make any other moves to bring in pitching. And it's either by trade, or they can go find a veteran who's kind of waiting, you know, for the phone call. You know, the half-season pitchers now, like Rich Hill or Dallas Keuchel, or even former Twin Jake Odorizzi, although all three of those guys I just mentioned are former Twins, aren't they? Yeah.
Yes.
And so they may have to go to that, play that card in order to add some pitching depth before it's over. Something's got to get done here, because someone's going to bring – they are a couple like a pulled groin or a slight shoulder tweak away from like being really desperate in finding starters. I don't think David Festa's ready. And the other guys are barely recognizable at AAA. If a starter is put on waivers, the Twins are going to have to be all over that, you know, so they could build some depth, man, because they've surged back to second place in the division. They got a lot of good things going for them. They can't get derailed because they failed to build depth or at least address a dearth of starting in the organization.
Yeah, and you look at the four or five spots in the rotation. I like Paddock. I think he's a good pitcher, and I like his pitch mix. But he's been hurt a lot. He hasn't thrown a lot of innings, and he's not efficient. So you wonder how hard they can push him. And Simeon Wood Richardson has been fantastic. I just don't have any gauge on how real what we're seeing is.
I was at the game, his last start, when he had like 7 strikeouts in the first 3 innings. And I don't think he has great swing and miss stuff, but I don't know if he was just staying a step ahead of these guys and pitching them backwards, but it seemed like they could not figure out what he was throwing at what time in the count, and that really worked in his favor. He's more confident now because he's changed his arm angle and he's throwing a little bit harder. And he can change speeds. He's got a good slider. But in terms of like strikeout stuff, he's not considered a strikeout pitcher, but he has been the last couple of times out. So I don't know if it's because teams aren't used to seeing him, and it's a matter of them running up against him a second or third time. But the Twins will take it right now. They'll take it, and it's been really impressive. As far as Paddock, I'm really curious to see how the Twins feel about his inning workload for this year, because I'm looking at Paddock differently than some other guys in this situation. This is the second Tommy John surgery. he believes he has a brand new elbow, a bionic elbow, because they replaced the ligament and did the primary repair where it's also strengthened. So he thinks he's got a new elbow. And given his age and his career and the fact he's had a second surgery, I wonder if they just let him go and see how far he can go with this. I wouldn't restrict him too much. If he can get them 150 innings, I think that'd be fabulous. But I wouldn't be worried about pulling him, be honest with you, because he's given himself another elbow. So I'm curious to see how far this goes with him.
As far as Semien, I think what he's done is, you know, highlight the Eddie Guardado, Roy Smalley rules of pitching, which is they put it differently, but it's basically the same idea, which is Eddie's like, hey, I'm going to get you or you're going to get me, but we're going to find out right away. I'm not going to dink around. I'm not going to throw 18 pitches and try to fool you. I'm going to come at you with my best pitches. If you hit it, you hit it, and I'll get the next guy. And Roy puts it a different way. Roy puts it a very philosophical way. Your stuff doesn't get better the longer an at-bat goes. So why not throw your best stuff right away and get ahead? Semien Woods-Richardson threw his fastball for strikes early in the count. And rule number three, the Jim Palmer rule, fastball is always the best pitch in baseball. Don't go away. Don't be afraid to throw it. Semien Woods-Richardson, he uses fastball to get ahead, and then he uses fastball to finish people off. And yeah, he used other pitches to keep people off balance, but never be afraid to throw your fastball. Because if your fastball isn't good enough, you're not going to last anyway.
Anyway, exactly. And if Semien is applying Jim Palmer, Roy Smalley, and Eddie Guardado into his mindset, then he's going to be in good shape here with those three principles of pitching being applied. You're right. He has not been a threat. And like I said, I think he's more confident this year because he's found a couple extra miles an hour, you know, and that it's given him the belief that he could compete in this level. And, you know, he hasn't made the spot start and has been sent down like he was a couple times in the past. He's been able to stick around. He's finally been on a major league road trip. Yeah. And I think all that is working in his favor right now. So roll with it, man. Like I said, in this season, you're going to need probably more starters than the Twins have used. But if any of them can step up and get on a roll for you, you ride that wave. And right now, Semien's riding a wave.
No doubt about it. Last topic for today. Once again, thank you to everyone who listens. We do appreciate it. Again, check out our new show, Dawn of Sports. We had Michael Grady from the Timberwolves broadcast team on. He's fantastic. This week, we had Lindsey Young from Vikings.com on earlier. You can go back and find conversations with Jim Cott and Mike Tirico and a bunch of other cool people in the market. Check it all out. Highly recommend the John Krasinski show on the Wolves right now. Also highly recommend Jeff Diamond on the Vikings and our Viking Update show, as well as John Millay on Preps. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. We also have outdoor content, variety content. Subscribe to the shows you like. And again, we do appreciate it. All right. The TV deal. It's an absolute mess. Just tell me what's going on and what you think of it.
Well, my thing is this. You got one side in Comcast who's had to put up with people cutting the cord and watching their subscribers go down. You got another in Diamond Sports / Bally's who are trying to emerge from bankruptcy and have been putting out business plans as if they were going to have all their regional networks in play for this year. Both sides have the incentive to get a deal done. Both sides are being stubborn. And the people who are getting railroaded into this are other subscribers who have a second place team. A team that's on a roll has won 15 out of 17 games, and they can't see them unless they switch to DirecTV or go to a bar that has Fubo or DirecTV so they can watch the game. This is ridiculous. It's sad. It's bad for baseball. And a large chunk of the baseball fan base, too, are elderly people. People that spend their summers watching Twins games on television and sitting around with the grandkids and enjoying the family while the ball game is on. And this affects a lot of them. You know, people at assisted living centers who are used to having a Twins game on, you know, do not have that ability right now. So I got to imagine there's a lot of ticked off octogenarians in these markets right now. It's not just Minnesota. It's a total of 8 regional sports networks that cannot show that team's games on the Bally's chain. That's millions of people, millions. And something needs to be done to take care of them. I also blame I blame Major League Baseball for not having a contingency plan. I blame the Twins for not having a backup plan. This is embarrassing when you need to get as many eyes on this game as possible.
No doubt about it. I'm glad you're writing about it. Check out our work in the Star Tribune. Check out our conversations at TalkNorth.com. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks to our producers. We appreciate it. Next week, we'll definitely catch up on Roy to get more into the hitting aspect of this Twins team. Hey, this is a great time to be a Minnesota sports fan. The Timberwolves are a blast. The Twins are a blast. And the Vikings are bringing in J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner. So enjoy, and we'll be talking about all of it right here at TalkNorth.com.